Alright, here we go, part two, guerrilla position. You got at Oraman14 over here, also known as you Bad News Ramen. No. I was trying to see if I needed to throw an at in front of that yet.
Not yet.
Later, man.
I know it's a big time difference. I mean, this is like 4 or 5 days after our first, you know, huge Smash success.
Allegedly.
So, yeah.
and then over here, aka at Better Have My Donuts.
You gotta tell me how to spell it though, because it's, you know.
BETAHAVDONUTZ.
See, and
I maxed out all my letters on that one. I maximized my potential.
So, we're trying to get more than 16. We're trying to get some other people besides the go-go dancers that, or the whores. I mean, the go-go dancers or the call girls. Those type of followers. So, so Better Have My Donuts, you know. We're going pretty hard. We've got
global,
a first
global
round
here.
Picks.
Global, baby.
Worldwide, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to kind of pick up where we were leaving off on the last podcast that we did so many moons ago.
Which was kind of like your lovemaking all over the place. You know, here, there. You should see his face right now. Look at him.
What?
That's what I was told. You know, I've heard many girls.
Many. From the millions?
Yeah, after I get him drunk and go like, well, what about that guy? They come back up. Well, how was he all? He was all over the place.
I'm not talking about him.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk about that some other time. All right, so where we were leaving off, we were kind of getting into, or what, in our minds at least, we're getting into the current state of the United States and the Intercontinental titles in WWE. What's going on with it? What are they going to do with that to make those titles relevant? That's basically the bottom line. The titles have not been relevant for quite a while. Actually thought it was going somewhere in the Cody Rhodes run. I thought the Intercontinental belt was looking like it was becoming relevant and would really be relevant should Cody Rhodes have taken that step to at least start to get into the heavyweight title picture afterwards, but he just kind of wallowed.
So people can't see what's going on around here, right? Okay. So, like, right next to us, you know, we got the nice little setup going and everything like that. Macho Man's over here. But right next to us, there's a dead horse. And I have a bat, and we're going to start beating it right now.
Okay.
Intercontinental Championship, U.S. Championship, is not working right now for one simple reason. You got to bring it back when Intercontinental Championship was before. It was the best wrestler on the roster. The guys that would steal the show every pay-per-view, and they could steal the show every pay-per-view because your main event draw, the Hulk Hogan's, you know, the Ric Flair's to some small part, but mostly, you know, Hulk Hogan, he was during that whole run. Just on charisma alone, they could carry the end of the show. Mm-hmm. And you're like, yeah, I got my money's worth. I saw Hulk Hogan do his same 10 moves, but God damn it, he looks good doing those same 5 moves.
Drop a couple brothers.
Put the brothers in there, you know, did the pose at the end.
Trained, did the prayers and eat the vitamins.
And everybody knocks the big boot and the leg drop, but hell, when you were a kid, when you're 13, 14, that leg drop was, that was glory right there, dude. So, but I think that's what it's coming down to is that, you know, the Intercontinental Championship was reserved for the best wrestler on the card. And right now, you have some up-and-coming wrestlers that are good, and it was kind of seen, you know, during the Bret Hart years when Bret Hart had it. It's like, yeah, he's going to be the next one to take off and be main event status. But you have to look at the guy on top. You know, Cena's the guy on top.
Mm-hmm.
He appeals to a certain amount of fans. He appeals to that same family that they show every weekend or every Monday night. You know, the four people, the four little family, the nice little nucleus family dressing all up with the two little snot-nosed kids. And you're like, oh, how cute. You know, but at the end of the night, as him as the last match, you're not walking away from there going like, yeah, I got my money's worth. There wasn't enough CM Punk. There wasn't enough Cult of Personality played. You know, Brodus wasn't there. You know, he's dancing with the kids, but, you know, he's entertaining dancing with the kids. So that's the problem that I have, I think, and it's never going to be better until you replace the top guy or if the top guy can actually put someone over. And Cena has put people over in the past, but he's not good enough to give him the best match of their life. So that's the problem I see with the belt right now.
Right, and what you're saying is the guy that used to be that Intercontinental Champion used to be just a worker, right? Used to be the guy that, whether he won or he lost a match, carry the show, just make... That was the match that people walked away from and said that was the best match on the card, right? That is a problem. Another problem that I see with it is... let me see. How could I put it? I just got to find the right wording. So it used to be that...
Well, we're going to be here all night. Go ahead.
All right, now I got to start over.
Okay.
Yeah, no. Okay.
Now it's going to take you
another time. Used to be that the guy that had that belt was, like, you know, actually winning matches. And then they had other guys that he was going against that were enhancement talent that made that champion look better. Now all it looks like is they put the belt on somebody and then have him get his ass beat for 3 months, and he's enhancing everybody else. So what it is it's not building up the person who's the champion. Prime example is last night with Ryback just...
Not last night. That was 2 weeks ago. Remember that week ago? Remember we had all those beers? Yeah, see?
Oh, yeah.
We had about 5 beers now. That's why he's kind of messed up. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, go ahead.
So, yes, the previous Raw, the ever-so-recent Raw, where Ryback came in and, you know, a little bit more than a squash match, but he pretty much disposed of the Miz. You know, Miz is losing on a constant basis, though he's the United States champion. Doesn't make the belt look good. It's not making him look good. And basically, it looks like they threw a belt on Miz so that he can make Ryback look good, which is ass backwards, right?
Mm-hmm.
What it should be is Miz should be beating people, getting over, and then when someone finally does beat the Miz, it's actually going to be an accomplishment.
I think, the non-title match is the worst thing in wrestling. I mean, all the time, a non-title match is the worst thing in wrestling. But you know what? We have to take some of the blame for that, too. You know, because we're coming here, you know, and we're talking about, you know, hey, you know, like, you know, I don't want to see countouts anymore. I don't want to see disqualifications anymore. I don't want to see a dusty finish anymore. And there's so much push for that. And a lot of that had to do with WCW to kind of, you know, feed Hogan and do all that stuff and to have, like, legitimate title matches. And the funniest thing about this whole thing is you go back to the Monday Night Wars. WCW had way more talent. You know, Chris Benoit, who's never mentioned anymore. Eddie Guerrero, rest in peace. And, you know, a bunch of other small-time guys, you know, like Juventud Guerrero. Let's keep on going. But you know, they had a better rush of talent. But what they started doing was they had these title matches, and they would all end in disqualification. You know, there was never a clear winner. So you, as a wrestler, you'd look at it and go like, yeah, this is just, you know, they need to have a match out there, but nobody's going to win. You know, the person will never win the title. And what made WWF or WWE great back then was, and this, I remember the match. It might have been Stone Cold versus Bret Hart or whoever it was for the. It might have been Stone Cold versus The Rock. Whatever it was, it didn't matter because you put Stone Cold with Bret Hart. Bret Hart can have a good match with anybody. Rock can have a good match with anybody. Stone Cold could sit down and talk on the mic and have a good match with someone. But it went for the title. It was an actual title match. And I believe it was Stone Cold and Rock, and these guys are just like laying into each other like 2 weeks ago with the Patriots and the Ravens. You know, just giving them their best shot, and you're watching, and you know that the title's on the line. I don't know if the title changed hands or not, but knowing that the title could have changed, and they fought so well, or they wrestled so well, that you're just enjoying the show, going like, yeah, this is so intense that, you know, I am going to see a title change tonight. And if I don't, who gives a fuck? Because it's one of the best matches that I've ever seen.
Right.
And that's the problem that we have right now, is that you have these non-title matches. But I think we feel that. I think the internet generation, I think, you know, the smarks online, even the marks online are going like, oh, I'm so tired of... Well, you've never seen it. You didn't have to see it for 10, 15 years. You know? It's like, you see one of them, you start crying about it. You know, so I think that there's a problem there. It's kind of like, you know, the whole thing, it's like soccer mom mania. You know, it's like, I don't want to see this person lose. No, screw that. I want to see the guy lose. I want to see him react after he loses and how he becomes a better wrestler. I want to see John Cena lose.
Yep.
Straight up, and let's see how he reacts to it.
Yeah. Lost my train of thought there.
That's all right.
But
there you still, buddy. Go ahead.
What you're saying is right. But what I would say is that there is a place for the non-title match. Right. The problem with the way it's being done now is there's no story building to these matches that are non-title between, you know, whoever the champ is and somebody else.
Yeah.
And it's every week it's some different random non-title match, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're building a program up with whoever, like, say, Miz and Ryback, maybe Miz build some kind of story where he's saying who has Ryback beat? He doesn't deserve to have a title shot yet. And then you have some reason to have them fighting each other, even though the belt's not on the line. But when it's just like a carousel of characters getting non-title matches, beating your U.S. and your Intercontinental champion straight up, It gets stupid, and it makes you wonder, what is the point of even putting the belt on these people if they can't even beat mid-carders?
Well, I think the bigger part then is that, and actually, you know, this is of course unscripted, and I don't know what you're going to say, and you know, but hey, you know, me and this guy have been around for a long time. We've been talking forever, you know, past 20, 25 years doing this. But you bring up a very good point. It's like an epiphany. It's like when I saw, you know, John Cena do his 3-inch vertical, and I said, like, wow, this guy has no athletic ability whatsoever, you know. But here's the thing: it's like there's only one storyline on Raw right now. If you really think about it, there's only one storyline on Raw. It's the main storyline: CM Punk, John Cena. It's like, if you don't care about that storyline, you know, okay, then, you know, you're going to go to sleep for a while, and you're going to wake up, and you're like, oh, you know, I missed it. I mean, and I think there's a problem there. I think, you know, the Intercontinental Champion. I mean, I think of all the great Intercontinental Championship rivalries, you know, Macho Man and Steamboat. One of the best build-up of all time. And everybody says, well, people don't have time for the build-up because everything's so quick, everything's so instant on the internet. That's garbage, man. Like, you build up a good story. You know, Rock and Cena would have been a good build-up if Cena could carry his in. Mm-hmm. You know, Rock did the best he could. I thought Rock kind of sounded corny a little bit at the end because look at who he's working with. But yeah. The whole thing is like, look, you have Money in the Bank with Dolph Ziggler. You know, we all know that he's probably going to... Well, we don't know. But, I mean, maybe that's a great thing, you know. But how hard is it? You know, me and you are here right here. We don't make jack squat, you know. And you have all these writers over here. They're running a multi-billion dollar company. They're worldwide known. It's like, so, okay, so, you know, you put Ziggler in with the Rattlesnake, the Apex Predator, who needs to go heel. But that's a different story, by the way. But how come you don't have him going against Sheamus the whole time and building it up, and boom, you turn around and he goes against John Cena or whoever wins that title? Because we all know John Cena is going to win. Mm-hmm. I hope he doesn't. But, you know, how come you don't? You can build another storyline, put a swerve on me, and all of a sudden I'm going to watch Monday Night.
Yeah. The art of the swerve is, it seems like it's gone at this point. I mean, everything is pretty predictable.
As the IC belt being challenged by someone else every other week, and the IC champion losing every week.
Yeah.
And it's because of the lack of storylines. It's like, you put, you know, the same thing with Christian, right? Christian's a phenomenal worker. Can get on the mic, get in front of the crowd, and work it. A particular angle he does. He had, like, what, 5 minutes, or maybe 10 or 15 seconds when they were going to, you know, get rid of the bro kick, and he killed it.
Yeah.
And they cut him off because they had to.
Yeah.
But it's like, but you had this guy as the IC champion for a long time, and I was bored to death.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's like, and the whole thing is that he's putting people over, which Christian is known to do,
mm-hmm.
a la Chris Jericho, mm-hmm. a la Ric Flair back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, but you can't build a story around Christian. You can't do something with Christian. You can't turn Christian heel. You know, he's a babyface right now. You can't turn heel, which I think they're going to do. Why do you have to hold my hand and do it? And how come you can't build a story around that?
Yeah, no, there's no reason. I mean, right now, I guess Christian's hurt. But, yeah, when he's in the fold, yeah, he's one of the most versatile guys there is. He can go back and forth between heel and face. He can work a match with anybody, like you were saying. Great on the mic, and he's just a legitimate competitor.
I was actually glad when he lost the IC belt because it's like he was so boring as a character.
Yeah,
you know, it's like okay, good. Now maybe I'll see him win every once in a while.
Yeah.
So that's the whole thing. So we're sitting here, you know, there's a dead horse over there. We have a bat that says IC title and US title, and the US title hasn't been relevant since Benoit held it way back when. You know, I think that's maybe the other thing too, is that you don't have legitimate guys there. You have guys that I think can be legitimate, mm-hmm. but they don't get any mic time. Everything is scripted, you know, and they're playing at a particular angle, and there's no chemistry between the people they're facing.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. It goes back to the last podcast, in case you missed it. Kind of mentioned there's like a John Cena glass ceiling, right? So the traditional way it would work, you do a good run at the IC belt, you do a good job in the U.S. with the U.S. belt, and then you elevate yourself up to the world and the WWE title contendership. Okay, there's Cena, he's got a stranglehold on it, and then there's a couple other guys that they'll let play in there. CM Punk, obviously. Seems they've decided to let Big Show be more than just a big jobber over the last year. But all these other guys...
Yeah, he's been a big no-show the past couple weeks, but yeah.
Took some vacation, yes.
Yeah.
But he's coming back.
And where's this guy going on vacation? I mean, he goes to Disneyland, has to, you know, lay in the Matterhorn, like take up like two boats or whatever, you know? I mean,
he wasn't sure he qualified for the height requirement on the rides.
On the rides? Yeah.
Not
the height, the mic requirement, but go ahead. I mean, you hear that Spanish dude on a mic at the Matterhorn? That guy's money, man. I mean, I don't even know what he's saying, but he's like, se tabos, you know, he's the man.
Man, every time I go to Disneyland now, the Matterhorn's the one ride that's closed, but...
Yeah.
I don't want to get into that.
Well, I think they had Big Show, and he was one of the Yetis. Yeah, yeah. You know, he goes, he still messed it up. He was like, alright, let's go.
Okay. So once someone makes a run as the U.S. champ or as the Intercontinental champion, instead of making that traditional progression they would make to the top, they just lose the belt, and then they just stay in that mix of Intercontinental United States champion. Okay, they're not moving forward. Now, like, if you listen to a lot of guys like JR, you know, he kind of says they're not taking advantage of their opportunities, right? That would be kind of the thing that he would say.
And then the problem I have with that, now JR is like, he's gold in my house, dude. I mean, I have a ton of respect for JR, always do, and everything he says,
I agree. Is it JR house in here?
It's a JR house. I mean, I don't have the barbecue sauce, sorry, JR, but, you know, if you retweet me every now and then, you know, and retweet this guy, he only has 14 followers, and half of them are you know, scantily naked, and they're probably trying to make payout right as we speak. But his whole thing is that they don't take the advantage of the opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how the hell do you take advantage of the opportunity? I mean, you have a bunch of young guys that aren't established. I mean, can you picture? I don't even know how it works, but, you know, reading the old time books, reading Flair books, reading Shawn Michaels' book, reading Jericho's book, they all went to Vince McMahon and they said, "Hey, you know, f you, give me a shot." And this is like, that's what I want to see. Well, we don't know how involved Vince McMahon is. You know, they're very quiet right now.
It's all Triple H now.
Yeah. Well, so from everything I've read about Triple H, you know, I don't see Triple H as being one of those guys. Triple H, I wish Triple H would have been the character that he was in all the DVDs that he's on, because Triple H is a riveting person in itself. And that sounded really, really fucking gay. But the whole thing is, you know, but Triple H, I mean, Triple H is down, dude.
Yeah.
You know, he's legit.
He's actually the number one guy behind Sandow. He's a huge Sandow fan, and that's the reason why Sandow's getting the big push he's getting.
Do you think Sandow came in and slapped Triple H around and said, "Give me a push"? So maybe to a small part, JR is right. It's like, take advantage of your opportunity.
Right.
You know, but I just can't see a guy like The Miz. I can't see anybody that has a track record to come and say, "Give me the ball, and I'm going to take you here," or "I'm going to score, you know, right, for the next four pay-per-views."
Right.
And I think what, you know, after talking about this, because listen, this isn't scripted, and you know, we don't have these preconceived notions that we want to put out there. Honestly, though, after hearing you talk, I think what it shows is that the IC and the U.S. heavyweight titles, I don't even know they had a U.S. heavyweight title anymore. The talent roster isn't that good.
Well, either it's not that good, or, you know, either people, or like JR says, people aren't taking advantage of their opportunities, or the right people, this is my estimation, would be the right people aren't being given the opportunities.
And who are these right people?
Guys we've been mentioning. I mean, I think Ziggler's on his way now. Cody Rhodes, I think, is a guy that could really be big time. Let's see.
These are all like heel type characters. So who are the, you know, who are the faces?
I could really see Miz having a good face run right now. Uh-huh. And I'm not the biggest Miz fan, you know that. But I think the way that he's building up, the way things are going, I think he could have a really good face run. Now would be a good time to turn him to a baby face and see what happens.
Well, you know, the other thing too that I see with The Miz is keep on putting him up against Rey Mysterio. And the whole thing is that have Rey Mysterio lose.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, listen, Rey Mysterio's lost a lot in his career, but he's also had this crazy push. And if you're going to sell that, if you're going to sell his hurricanranas and his stuff off the top rope and, you know, this little scrawny, well, he's not little anymore, but that's a whole, you know, other topic of conversation. But, you know, if you're gonna have a guy that you have to sell his moves all the time, well, guess what? You know, you're going to have to sell some guys' stuff too.
Yeah.
I think for the betterment of the business, you have two guys like Sin Cara, Rey Mysterio, who have a lot of crossover potential between a lot of different groups of people.
Mm-hmm.
They put in the time in different areas. You know, Sin Cara has a good indie following and everything like that. You know, but have them, you know, what they're kind of doing, but that's what I'm trying to say is, like, why is The Miz enhancing Sin Cara? He doesn't even enhance Rey Mysterio. Him and Rey, you know, from what I've done, listen, I don't have the money to spend on a pay-per-view every now and then, but, you know, this is a JR household. I do follow JR on Twitter. You need to follow Better Have My Donuts on Twitter because of his 14 followers. But what I heard is that they stole the show, you know, and they had a good run, and they did the right things. They did the right spots. That's how you can start building, because you have an established good guy in Rey. You know, I think the good guys or the faces need to kind of step up and take one for the team.
Yeah. Not necessarily on that point, but going back, just because there's something else I want to throw out there. If I was looking at WWE a year ago, and I was going to say, okay, who's the two guys that I think are on that trajectory that are about to become main eventers? Okay, the two guys that, and this is what I told you a year ago, was Ziggler and Rhodes. Okay? Now, what they actually did, like the belts that they hold, the level that they were wrestling at, the performance they were putting in, I always, personally, I liked Ziggler better. But that's a personal preference thing. You couldn't really distinguish...
All right, let's get this out of the way. Ziggler right now, to me, is right behind CM Punk. I mean, the workload this guy's putting in...
Yeah. But Ziggler and Cody Rhodes, what they were doing was pretty much indistinguishable. I mean, you could flip a coin to say this guy is going to be the guy or that guy's going to be the guy, right? But all of a sudden, Ziggler gets the opportunity and Ziggler's taking off. Like, he's taking the ball and he's ran with it. Cody just kind of stalled out. I didn't see anything. I didn't see any drop-off in Cody's performance. Okay, there was no reason for why I saw Cody all of a sudden kind of get lost in anonymity. Just Ziggler got bequeathed the run and Cody didn't. So, you know, I don't know how one gets that and one guy doesn't, right? Mm-hmm. Both of them have that potential. I mean, you know, there's no reason why Cody can't be a babyface. I mean, Cody could be a great babyface. He could just start talking about his lineage, his ties to Dusty, his ties to NWA. Yeah.
Goldust.
I mean, yeah, bring in Goldust, have someone whoop Goldust's ass, and have Cody come out and save him.
Yeah.
Instant babyface. Right?
Baby
very
face,
easy.
Instant good 2-month run with both of them involved.
Right.
Who I think Goldust is one of the most, you know, he to me, Goldust was one of the most underutilized guys.
Yeah.
Granted, Goldust had good runs, but mm-hmm. him as a wrestler and him as a worker,
mm-hmm.
you know, which right now it's pretty much reaching Jack Swagger proportions.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, like Cody's got the look. I mean, not the greatest on the mic, but definitely better than John Cena. Better in-ring performer in my estimation. I mean, tailor-made babyface. He's a pretty boy. He's relatable
and
to people.
And he outperformed John Cena. And he was a ring general when
yep.
he faced John Cena a year ago.
Yep. He's relatable. He can do all their little marketing things that he wants. You know.
So is he a guy that's going to help the Intercontinental Championship? I think what you need. I mean, I you know, talking to you about this also. I think Jack Swagger, whatever political back room is going on, because something's going on there.
Yeah, definitely.
And we've talked about this. I mean,
yeah.
Swagger is...
He pissed somebody off.
Yeah, Swagger's a beast. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, you
yeah.
watch the guy, he's physically, he can stand up to... I mean, he can't stand up to a Ryback. I mean, Ryback is... But if he beats Ryback, it's not going to be like,
it's
wow.
It's legitimate.
Yeah, because the guy's a big guy within itself.
Yeah.
And to me...
Judge, he's
yeah,
a big guy.
He's a big guy, yeah, and he broke my pinky, Judge. But, you know, but, yeah, you know... So I think what we're trying to say, and if we try to have some, you know, type of closure, which Vince McMahon is want to do, you know, it's more of a case of bringing out these younger guys and making the IC title, enhancing them,
yeah,
you know, more so than enhancing other people.
Yeah, give Cody a good run, let him beat everybody he goes against, let him get over as a babyface, and then you can have him build up against the next guy that you need to build up, so that when he actually beats Cody, it means something. And then if Cody's done his job in his title run, once that run's over, then he can elevate himself to the main event level. Easiest way to be doing that, maybe by the time that Cody is done with a successful Intercontinental title run, is maybe the time that Randy Orton's coming back as a heel. And that'd be instant, man. I mean, dude, you could run 6 months without even thinking about it.
Yeah, the legacy angle.
Yeah, because they've never, like, once they close out.
You can dust off that Samoan dude that was there for, like, 2 weeks.
I like it.
I like everybody.
Money. Yeah. And what I'm saying is they you mentioned closure before. They have never had any closure on the legacy. They have never done anything. There's maybe a couple matches, squash matches, right when it happened. Randy Orton went off on his own, and they never really sealed the deal with between him. You know, no one really cares about Ted DiBiase Jr. Sorry, bro. But they never sealed the deal with what happened.
Well,
with
you're still mad about the whole Marcy, you know, thing, right? I mean, she's not on TV anymore.
You mean
that guy,
Maurice?
What? Yeah,
I don't care about Maurice.
Oh man, you're crying about her. And
come on.
Okay, so bring him. See, I know it was Marcy because you know she was not like a flash in the pan for me. So, yeah.
Now, Marcy was Peppermint Patty's lover, dude. Don't you get confused over here.
Marcy?
Yes.
Yeah, but Peppermint Patty had the Birkenstocks.
Yes.
Yeah, you kind of look like Peppermint Patty sometimes, yeah.
And Marcy kept calling her sir.
Sir, yeah.
Yes.
You've called me sir a lot, so.
Stop, sir!
So we're talking about Maurice, and this kind of brings up another thing. You know, us being two old guys and stuff and watching it from the time of Rockin' Robin and Sensational Sherry, Scary Sherry.
Sunny.
Well, Sunny, I mean, to me, Sunny changed the game. And then, of course, you have Trish Stratus, who I think, you know, nobody can touch Trish Stratus as a diva.
Unfortunately.
Well, yeah. Well, you had What's-Her-Name, too, and, you know.
No, I'm just saying it's unfortunate that we couldn't touch her.
Oh, we couldn't touch her. Okay. You know, then you have, you know, Lita. Lita kind of fit the mold in some spots for some people.
Lita was a really good performer. And that was one of the things, like, you know, I didn't really, you know, I wasn't really big on her look, but she got it done in the ring for a women wrestler. Yeah. She was legit.
Well, I like the look. Yeah, I'm not gonna. There's some.
It wasn't horrible, but yeah. Like, I mean, there's female wrestlers I'll watch that can't wrestle for shit just because I'm gonna look at them.
Yeah, and so this leads into it. So right now, because you know we have this longer show, you know it's a 2-hour show. It used to be a 2-hour show, now it's a 3. And I used to fight that 3-hour show, and you said it was going to be good, and the jury's still kind of out. But, you know, it is a chance for more divas to come in. So right now, state of wrestling right now, top diva in your eyes.
In terms of a wrestler?
Just, no, in terms of, like, Trish Stratus, you know, I don't care about...
All time, sorry?
Just right now.
What's right now?
On? Yeah. Because I don't, listen.
My favorite one to look at is Eve. Yes. Okay, that's pretty much the question.
That's all that matters.
And
I'm mad about Eve because when she turned heel, she stopped doing that ass grind before she did the moonsault, you know, onto for the pin.
Ah, yes, yes,
that,
yes.
I mean, I would just watch that, you know, five. I was like, where's the ass pump? Oh, there it is.
But she does get up to the top of the ramp and then turn sideways and poke the ass out. So
yeah.
There is that, which is nice.
Okay, but the ass pump is way better. We all agree the ass pump's
better. Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you want to watch diva wrestling, you go to TNA. I mean,
but they actually got rid of what I think is their best performer recently.
The drunk one?
No, she's there. She's back. Angelina Love, I think, in terms of just wrestling, I think she's the best female wrestler going right
now. Hey, TNA, all they had for a while was their diva
division.
Their
knockouts division.
I don't even know what it's called because I don't watch it anymore. Yeah. Ever since Nigel McGuinness and...
Hey, still got Gail Kim, baby. Still got Gail Kim.
Yeah.
And I think Gail's one of the best female wrestlers there ever was. And I think even still right now, she's one of the best in-ring performers. I think, like, work between her and Angelina Love is great, like, in terms of women's wrestling.
I can't even figure out who
Angelina, you know, Love, she's a...
No. Don't tell me who she is. I'm just saying, it's like I would have no basis to. I'm gonna take your word for it.
Yeah,
because
you do.
You know, I mean, I you know, because then I start bringing up Fabulous Moolah, and you know, it's like, oh yeah, who cares? Okay, so we're done with that. We have to wrap this up pretty soon because, you know, as old as we are, I gotta pick up my kids from school and stuff. Or I mean, I gotta watch wrestling. But we got a little bit of time.
So you brought up this thing of 3 hours, right? And how that gives more time to the divas.
No, you know what? No. Let's kill that. I don't want to talk about that right now. I want to talk about Japanese wrestling. Because you have Japanese wrestling in here. And this will kind of be a precursor to the next one. You know, WWE is talking about a relationship with this new...
New Japan. New Japan.
But here we go. Okay, because, you know, Japanese wrestling is very special to me. You know, me being a Japanese guy and not a full Japanese guy, but, you know, watching the Great Muta back in 85, 86, you know, that infamous match he had with Sting back in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've never seen it, go on YouTube. You know, Japan brings out the good in a lot of people. I think Hulk Hogan did a suplex and a backdrop in his matches in Japan. Not everybody does, but you know my top guys, right?
Right.
We have Great Muta. We have
Masahiro Chono.
Masahiro Chono. We have Big Van Vader, who's not technically Japanese, but man, that guy was a beast in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Albert. Yeah, which we actually had. I didn't talk to this guy for probably about. I went and talked to him about wrestling for about 3-4 days because in his WWE video game, you know, I created this thing called the Closed Fist. It's kind of a takeoff of the Open Fist with karate and stuff and everything like that. So we had a faction called the Closed Fist. We had guys like Muta, Ultimo Dragon, Masahiro Chono in there. I mean, it's a legit group. And this guy, one day, he tells me, he's like, yeah, he's like, I downloaded a Lord Tensai, and he's my closed fist. And, man, I almost got an accident. You know, I think I was like, dude, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. So he finally showed me proof that Tensai's not in there. But, you know, you have these other guys that people don't know about, Kawada. You know, you have, you know.
Hayabusa, man.
Hayabusa, you know, also known as Hannibal in WCW versus World Tour.
Yeah.
I think it's the World Tour. But yeah, Hannibal, and or better known as Hayabusa, Fighter Hayabusa. You know, that guy. You know, you couldn't mess with that guy's back brain kick.
No.
But hey, he can.
Star Man with the flying cross chop.
But he's from Mexico, so.
Hey.
And I wonder if he had the different lights like Sin Cara did. You know, maybe he had the pink and blue.
Possibly.
My TV was so old that I used it on. It was like a 1975 TV that Star Man was actually gray and blue. I was like, man, what a cool color scheme. And then I
Technicolor.
Yeah, and then I put it on your TV. And I was like, what's this pink garbage? So it's kind of like, you know, the whole like.
And the Amazon coming with the foreign object.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that's something to talk about next time. You know, just remember, hey, look up Great Muto, see some of his matches. Also, Mitsuru Misawa, you know, he passed away recently. I probably butchered his name, but he had these flipping crazy rolling elbows, Master of the Tiger Driver. Anything that's Japanese is good. If you like CM Punk, a lot of this stuff is taken from Japan. Go to Sleep. That was stolen from a Japanese wrestler. If you can tell us who that is, you will win a Twitter follow. I don't care who you are. Follow this guy over here. We got to wrap up. My kid's waiting at school, and I have to go see her hot teacher.
Degenerate.
So, hey, it's been fun. I know we haven't talked as much as we last time. Gorilla Position. Remember Gorilla Position, and you can follow us at this guy over here.
Better have my donuts.
And let's see if I know how to spell it. BETAHAVDONUTZ.
That would be the one.
And I am Auraman14. Auraman, just...
A-U-R-A-M-A-N 1-4.
1-4. But you also do a search for Auraman. I'm the only Auraman on Twitter. I am the only Auraman on Twitter.
You should get that thing verified.
I just did. I checked it right now, man. I'm doing it right now. You know, I like to look at myself. And it's going to be the Japanese guy with the Japanese sun on his head. He's an old comic book character named Rai. We're actually writing our own comic book, too. So, you know, we're just doing a bunch of free promotion right now. And, hey, you know what? Watch wrestling, follow wrestling. I stole that from IGN. There was a wrestler for IGN that don't know your name, but you say watch wrestling. I truly believe that. You know, boo John Cena, like John Cena. Boo CM Punk, like CM Punk. But flip and watch. And let's make this thing better. Kevin, big man, better have my donuts. I'll let you finish it off like you always do.
That was another good run. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back again real soon.
All right, dog. See you.
Out.
That's like running secrets. What the hell is that?
No.